Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for all that you give us, all that you pour into our lives. And Father, we trust you with our finances and our health and our well-being. And Lord, the circumstances that we live in. And Father, we ask you to bless what's given, to bless the people that give, bless the people who don't give. And Father, bless our families and friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, open your Bibles up to chapter 2. That's good, isn't it? Which one of the books is chapter 2, huh? Let's go to Matthew this morning. I kind of like Matt. Yeah. This is good. It's a good word, Stacy. I'm going to read it since everybody stops tapping and turning. One. Yep, we're going to start with one. Y'all have fun. Look at Muscle Laura opening that door. Galatians 1:10 says this, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Jesus says it this way, "Stop seeking approval of others. When you focus on others approving of you, you shift it away from me and you and put yourself into the bondage I came to free you of. Stop chasing anyone but me, and I will open up blessings you cannot even imagine. Chasing men's approval stops you from being fully in me." That's a good word. You know, because we need people. We love people. Amen? Right? And we need to treat people with honor and kindness. We get our approval from God. We actually get it from the same time, although Jesus didn't need it said to him, it wasn't said for his benefit, it was said for the people that were there. But when he came out of the water, the Jordan River, getting baptized, and the Father said, "This is my beloved son," right? "This is my beloved daughter." He was saying, "This is my beloved everybody," right there over him. "So you're approved." Amen? I like that song by Mercy Me, "You're Spoken For." Because you are. Amen? Well, let's talk today about the Magi, hey? Yeah. I love this story. And the only appropriate time it seems to be is the Sunday after Christmas. So we've been down this road before, but that's not an issue because, you know, it's like the man said, you eat hamburgers all the time, right? Yeah, well, read the Bible. Even though you read it before, read it. Amen? In fact, it doesn't say read the Bible. It says it's a study to show yourself approved. So here's the last plug for a study Bible in 2025. Get a study Bible. Find one you like and get one. And I'll tell you one that I really like. You can actually get it for free. Is the Faith Life Study Bible with the Logos software, and they're running a free trial now, and I think you get to keep some basic, and yes, they're going to hit you up for a subscription, and they're going to give you ads, but they give you some really good, they give you free stuff, like $100 of free stuff, and you can put a Bible on one side of the screen, and you can put a Faith Life Study Bible on the other side of the screen, and you can sync the two of them together so that when you're looking at a verse, it goes to the verse in the study Bible. What could be easier than that, right? Man, I love you guys. I don't know, but I'm kind of glad 2025 is coming to an end. I like the way 2026 sounds. I just like that. 2026. Sounds like a good football hype. All right, hey everybody online, how are you? Let's read the Bible. How about that? Starting in verse 1, it says, "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who had been born King of the Jews? For we observed the star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod secretly called the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And he sent to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you found him, bring me word so that I too may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went to the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering a house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And opening the treasure gifts, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Man. Some things I learned about this story this year I never realized. One, King Herod here is not the King Herod when he was born, when Jesus was born. Because they're living in a house here. Barn, cave, Tower of Migdal. And one of the other strange things, and I can't remember which Herod it is, because, you know, they're all named Herod. They go back Herod to this guy's great-grandfather. They go back to Herod. So, and Herod the Great was the one who was living when Jesus was born, but he died shortly thereafter. And so he's probably about a two-year-old now. Let's just say he's two. We don't know, but we're guessing. You guess when you read the Bible? Yeah, I bet you do. But the other interesting thing that hit me this year was these guys came from Persia, modern-day Iran, because they're from the east. The thing about Persia is it was not under Roman control. I mean, what kind of risk were these guys taking coming into the Roman Empire when they were from a country who was at odds with the Roman Empire? I mean, it's just odd. I just never thought about that before. I see them the way you do. There's three of them. They're by themselves going across the desert by night, watching the star. But there was probably a whole entourage. And we don't know if there were three. We just know that there were three gifts that they gave Jesus, right? But they followed a star. What does that sound like? It reminds me of they followed a cloud by day and a fire by night. This is another interesting thing, and Matthew's telling us that Jesus is the new Moses. I mean, because then he takes him to Egypt, and then he brings him back out of Egypt, right? I mean, that's ahead of the story, but yeah, he does. But these people probably weren't Hebrew. They could have been. There were several thousand Hebrews still living in whatever was left of Babylon and the cities and Iran and Persia. There were a lot of Jewish people that never left Persia, and there were other Jewish people that left and migrated into India, southwestern India. But these guys, they came from modern day Iran, and the Magi were like, I don't want to use astrologers because that's like a horoscope thing, right? Astronomers. They studied the stars. They came up with mathematical formulas that I can't pronounce and couldn't understand even if I had a blackboard behind me to write it out on. They came out with mathematics long before other cultures did. It was amazing. Some of the math that we have, some of the unsolvable problems that we have still come from the Persian Empire. That's because that's about like a man, right? Or a woman. They can conceive of a problem that they can't find a solution for, right? Yeah, kind of like being married. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. She's not here with that stick. She's never actually hit me with that stick. It just gets me that my grandson, Bridger, gave her the stick. I think that's the thing that sticks with me, right? But these guys were hungry and they were paying attention, which is funny because the people in the land that Jesus came to, they weren't paying attention. Because the king went to these guys who should have known, who should have been looking, who could have been following Daniel 70 weeks and said, this is the time where the Messiah comes. And these guys weren't coming looking for a son of God. They wouldn't come looking for a Savior that was going to die on a cross and raised on the third day. Hey, Lois. Hey, they were looking, excuse me, for an actual king, for the next king of the Jews. They were probably looking for someone to take Judea away from the Roman Empire, which I don't really understand why. Maybe they had an underhand thought of, well, if they get it away from the Romans, then we can take it away from them. Who knows? But anyway, they came seeking. Yeah? What are you following and what are you seeking? What are you following in 2026 and what are you seeking? Are you paying enough attention to what God is saying to us in this time? Do you give it a thought? Do you give it time to sink in? Do you give it a moment for God to unction you or to urge you or to drop a hint? I love that last slide we had with the fireplace and the two cups of coffee. Although I never poured Jesus a cup of coffee. Maybe I shouldn't be so selfish. But I do sit and drink a cup of coffee and spend some time with Jesus every day. Of course, it is a selfish thing also. I'm just warning you because until the first cup of coffee has been drained of all the coffee and caffeine in it, don't talk to me. Thank you, Fudge. Karen Lee. Bridger Mac. Although grandchildren get a dispensation, right? I mean, you know. I mean you could not want to talk to anybody, but you'll still talk to a grandchild. I guarantee it. Giving God the moment and the opportunity. That's what these guys did. They didn't realize they were giving God an opportunity. They didn't know Matthew was going to write it down. Mark, Luke, and John, they completely skipped over the Magi. Maybe they didn't like people from Persia. I don't know. But they completely skipped over this. We don't get a story like this from anyone else. Here they are making this long journey that's dangerous because they want to see the King. And all you and I have to do is to walk into the throne room where we are more than welcomed. We can boldly approach the throne. Right? And yet, so oftentimes, just like Herod, we don't include God in our plans. Just like the learned religious leaders who knew to look up the prophet Micah and find where he was to be born. The Messiah was to be born in the land of Bethlehem. Right? In the city of Bethlehem. The tiny little village that didn't even have a well. All they had was cisterns. And it was a pasture land. Go make that out in your mind. God does things that we're not looking for. That we should be looking for. Other people may see them. Or they may see them for different reasons than what God wants them to see them. But we don't pay enough attention to what God is saying to us, me included, to understand and to form a path to follow in our life. We get busy, don't we? Oh, man, we just finished one of the busiest times of the year. And soon, it's going to be 75 out there today, but, in probably 2 weeks, it'll probably be zero, right? Somebody's pipes are going to freeze? I hope not. I pray not. I pray people watch over their space heaters, because it seems like every winter when it gets really cold, somebody's house goes. It's sad. Usually it's people that don't have insurance, either on their stuff because they're renting the house and they don't have renter's insurance. It's a terrible time. But we get busy and we just live life. We just do what we got to do to make it to the next day. And God is talking to us about not the next day, but He's talking to us about our next step, which is even smaller than the next day. He wants to be involved in your life. He was involved in the nation of Judea here. The Messiah had come, and the people who were begging for a Messiah didn't recognize Him, except for Elizabeth, John, and the two prophets when they took Jesus on the eighth day to offer the turtle doves for the offering. Right? That's it. Mary, even though she had an angelic vision, she kept those things in her heart, which she treasured stuff in her heart. And I'm sure she talked to God, but I bet she didn't understand. I bet Mary didn't know that Jesus was going to walk on water. I bet that she didn't know that He would bring in all the sons and daughters. That is the song, isn't it? I love that line, Mary. Did you know when you kiss your baby, you kiss the face of God? I don't know if she knew that. I know she'd been told that. I know she didn't understand what was happening to her. But the religious leaders who were working for Herod, they should have been looking. It's the people that should have been looking that should be looking. That's a good phrase. I'm going to hear about that later. Because they were just living their lives and not paying attention to the time. I'm not telling you that the seventh week of Daniel is about to happen, because I don't believe in a seventh week of Daniel, okay? I believe that the tribulation that it's told about in Revelation happened at the end of Jerusalem, when Rome demolished Judea in the first century and completed it in the second. But that doesn't mean God isn't talking to us. See, God's not looking to come snatch us away to get us out of harm. He's put us here to be His representative on earth. We have dual citizenship. These guys didn't. These magi didn't. But what we can duplicate in our lives, at least they studied. At least they looked. At least they yearned. At least they were looking for the King. They were looking for the Messiah. They were watching. And they followed the star, which represents the presence. You know, it's one of the four things we really put our feet on in this church is God's presence determines direction. And it's based solely upon fire by night, cloud by day, star in the sky. I'm not telling you to be an astrologer. I'm telling you to get into a deeper relationship than you're currently in, regardless of how deep it is. You guys okay? The Magi were actually the early Christians, 3rd and 4th century, 5th century. They actually have started to apply Psalm 72 to them. And it says this: may the kings of Tarshish and the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all the kings fall down before him. All nations give him service. That was just a Christian application. They really weren't kings, even though that's a great song, We Three Kings of the Orient, you know. But they were the scientists of their day. And I don't understand what their interest in, why the king of the Jews interested them, but they were interested in what God was doing nevertheless. Because sometimes God will let you, how do they say it? How do we say it? God will let you believe what you believe until he can get you to believe what he needs you to believe. It's a funny statement. So what can we learn from this? Well, I don't know if we can actually learn what I'm going to tell you from the story. Hey. His Gary's phone's telling him, don't listen to this guy. Don't listen. He's lost his place again. So the things I want to give you, they're kind of illustrated in this story, but they're kind of not. But they're true nevertheless, okay? The first thing is that they follow the light. God is our light. God is light. That's one of the things the Bible says about God, is that God is light. God is light. God is love. God is life, right? Doesn't say God is the meanest person you ever met. Doesn't say God's going to get you. Going to hit you with a lightning bolt till the man said, till your eyeballs are spinning on the ground. The psalmist wrote, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You do realize when this guy wrote these words, he was shaking in his boots. He was scared. We don't talk about being feared. We don't talk about being feared. We don't talk about experiencing fear until we're experiencing fear. He's reminding himself, God is my light and my strength. Psalms 36 says this: for with you is a fountain of life, in your light do we see. You know, light in the Bible means light, as in the absence of dark, right? Of course. But it also means the absence of ignorance. Ignorance, we use it in a bad connotation, but all of us are ignorant about something. I am very ignorant about quantum mechanics. Every time I try to read a quantum mechanics book, I get lost in the introduction. Just saying. And I try reading the first paragraph of the first chapter and reading the first paragraph of the last chapter because I figure at least I can pick up what he's saying there. But no. Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of light. It's when we have the phrase, oh, a light bulb went off in my head because I finally understood. And I thought I was doing good in algebra that year. My junior year, Algebra 2, A level, which I have no idea what I was doing in there. And the teacher actually said, you know, your brother Randy was a lot better at math than you are. He was. He's a lot smarter than me. But anyway, here we go. So search for the light. Ask for the understanding. You know, and then just give God time to tell you. That's what we do. We ask him, oh, I want you to tell me what's going on. I want you to increase my understanding. And then we just expect God's going to plug a USB-C cord into us and put it all in our head right there. You know? We get that. We act like that because when we read the Bible, we think these guys had some kind of direct line to God writing the words in the Bible, right? Because that's our vision of life, of God breathed, of inspired. But let me tell you something about hearing from God. Sometimes you don't hear correctly. Sometimes he says it right, but you hear it wrong. And if you need to learn that lesson, become a man and marry a woman. And I promise you, you will learn about this thing called tone. Don't you take that tone with me. Why does it always sound like a tone when a wife says that? Huh? Or when a husband says that to their wife? Huh. I'm just kidding. I love my wife. We watch TV now. We got a new TV on Black Friday. $350. It's like wider than the house, you know? But we, instead of using a sound bar and turning it up to a max level, we plugged in two sets of headphones. So now I get this tap, tap, tap. Because she's got to say something. It's usually me trying to get her attention because I want to tell her who's in the show and what other shows they were in. Because that's important to me when I'm watching the show. And also I like to tell her when I figure the plot out and tell her. Because that way she'll know that Tommy knew it. And then she accuses me of reading Wikipedia. I don't know. But it is enjoyable. But look for the light. Not just now, not just this week. Ask God, where are you leading me? How can I help you lead me better? Am I headed in the right direction? Or am I think I'm going in the right direction, but I'm going the opposite way? Because that's a common thing, right? Because you think you're somewhere in the woods, but you're actually somewhere else. The two places look familiar, and you think, if I go this way 100 yards, then I'll come out on the road, and you go 100, 200, 300, 400 yards more into the forest. That's never happened to y'all, has it? Happens to me all, used to happen to me all the time. So considering that God is the light, and we're going to seek Him, okay? So here are the three things, or let's just do two. The first one is find the quiet. That's something I say to you all year long. Is find a quiet place, get away from the distractions when you talk to God. Seriously, because you talk to Him all the time. You know, I hope the Lord let me get a parking place at Walmart. Let me find a good deal. We're always praying something, right? I don't know about you, but I definitely do. It's good to carve out a place where God can just meet with you. And if you do it and try to do it the same time every day, it'll build. And maybe you're busy. You can't do it in the morning. Do it in the evening. Don't get convicted because the psalmist says early in the morning. You know, they didn't have any distractions. They went to bed at 5 o'clock and they got up, you know, when the sun came up, right? But find the quiet. I love this scripture. It says in Psalms 46, "Be still and know that I'm God. I'm exalted over the nations. I am exalted in the earth." I love that scripture. There was a prophetess that gave the word to Karen one time. We were going to plant a church in Spokane, and she had really high anxiety over moving to Spokane, over moving 2,500 miles from her mom, which I thought was a good distance at the time. But she didn't, and neither did Mom. I don't think Cody and Kayla, and I know Keegan didn't care because he was just 18 months old. But she had a lot of anxiety. And she picked it up in the Spirit. This lady picked it up in the Spirit, and she just spoke over her and said, "God wants you to know that your worship team is already there." Because that's what she was really worried about. "Your worship team is already there. Just be still and know that He is God. Being still is the most impossible thing when you have anxiety that you can do. When you're stressed over something, especially when it's like telling a woman to be calm when you're in an argument, right? Telling someone to be still when all you want to do, I just want answers. That's all I want. I just want you to tell me plainly. I want you to tell me where I can understand. You never had a conversation like that with God? Because I definitely have. And I hear this scripture in my spirit. Be still and know that I'm God. And I think, yeah, right. Well, speak then. You talked out of a burning bush to Moses. I'll take my shoes off. Burn something up. Set that monitor on fire. Set, you know, not that 43 inch. I like that thing. Don't. I'm just kidding. You know what he just said? Listen better. Listen better. And I do need to listen better. I'm a challenged listener. I really am. Sometimes, well, it's hard for me to hear sometimes. For one thing, I can't hear anything in my left ear, and usually not listening in the right. So, but finding the quiet and carving out a place and allowing God to be Him. Don't go in there with expectations. Go in there and go, I just want to spend time with you. These magi, they discovered this. They saw this star. And for some reason, they decided the star in the sky was a sign that Israel, or Judah rather, was about to get a new king. We don't know what they were reading. We don't know what they were talking to. They could have been of Jewish descent and prophets for all we know. But they were going through life wanting to learn, wanting to hear, wanting to know. And the last thing, and I got this because they gave Jesus gifts. Favor the people around you. We don't just give gifts for Christmas, right? I mean, we don't give to that extravagance the rest of the year, because we spend the rest of the year paying for the extravagance that we just gave, especially if you have kids. But favor people. Favor people that you wouldn't normally favor. We all want favor, right? Because we think favor is gets a good parking place, gets us a good deal at Walmart. But favor is not for that. Favor is the purpose of God in you. And Joseph had favor on him, but I bet you he didn't feel like he had favor on him because his master's wife was lying about him, and then he got sent to prison. I don't know about you, but I could be in charge of a prison, and I wouldn't feel no favor on me. Right? But we look at the story because we know the end, and we see the favor. There are people in your life that circumstances have left out. Circumstances have pushed them to the side. Circumstances have caused them to not believe in themselves or not want to. They just want to be left alone sometimes, right? But they need favor. They need someone to encourage them. They need someone to reach out to them. They need someone to say, you know, I'm here with you, right? Favor the people. Favor people. Ephesians says this, chapter 4, verse 32. The New American Standard Bible. Very Baptist of us today. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. What a great word, huh? Sometimes I wonder if Paul actually wrote that, because there was those two guys in Timothy that he said, man, remember those guys that did me wrong? God's going to get them. Read Timothy. You'll see it. But be kind. Good gosh. We practice kindness during Christmas because we say Merry Christmas to people. We say happy holidays to people. We say, hey, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in so long, because you run into people all the time. I used to love ringing the bell when we all rang the bell on Black Friday weekend. And, you know, you'd see so many people coming in Walmart early, and then they all leave to go somewhere else, big, the shop. But you see people you haven't seen in a while, right? And it's the time of year where there's joy and you're cheerful, kind of, right? Unless you're dad and you're thinking about how much you got to pay it in January. But but there are 11 more months of the year that we don't have a national holiday to greet each other over. And we should. We should greet each other. We shouldn't have Christmas every month. We should be kind every month. I try to find people that I know that hate God because of their circumstances, the way they've been treated, or whatever. Choices that they made themselves. I try to be kind to them because I want to show them the Father's heart. Because you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. Papa has never been mad at me a moment in my life. And I have done things that the ground should have opened up and ate me. If there had been a lever, pull this and the ground will open up and eat you, I would have pulled it. He's never been angry at me. Never been angry at you. You'll never get to heaven. We sang that song. He's a good, good father, right? You'll never get to heaven and somebody's going to say to you, he's going to say to you, they told you I loved you too much. No one has ever explained the love of God for his sons and daughters because it doesn't stop. And when we share it, it flows from his throne to your heart, from his heart to your heart, to someone else's heart. Amen? Let's all stand. I like it. The Magi were heroes. They showed us more than the people that were in covenant with God. It's crazy, isn't it? Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, I ask you to lead every one of us into a quiet place. Help us carve out a place to meet with you and just experience you. Chase your path, to walk your ways, to listen to you, and to say yes. In Jesus' name, I pray this over everyone, and I ask everyone to say amen. All right, well, have a good week. You only got one left and a few days left of 2025, and it's gone forever.